on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the final hour of the program. More of your phone calls coming up at 800-636-8686. You can hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Emails at rome@haveatake.com as we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day in 20 minutes. The latest on Carmelo Anthony potentially going to Houston when we check in with Rick Kambla of NBA TV. Let's talk some baseball with an old friend, the Nasty Boy, Rob Dibble. Dibbs spent 7 years in the bigs, won a World Series with the Reds, tremendous broadcaster. We work together at Fox now. You can check out his radio show. It's 97.9 ESPN Radio in Hartford. Rob, it's been a long time since we've chatted. Thanks so much for coming on the show. How are you?
My pleasure, Webb. Anything for you, buddy.
Thank you, buddy, and welcome to the jungle as I'm trying to stay in character filling in for Jim. Let's start with Aaron Judge. Unstoppable. Put on that great show at Home Run Derby on Monday night. I know he's only a rookie and struggled when he came up last year, but since baseball does not market its stars well, is he already the face of your sport, even though it probably should be Mike Trout?
It should be Mike Trout, probably Bryce Harper. With a guy like Aaron Judge, you know, he's such a humble kid, and he's 6'7", 280, and people are going to gravitate towards a guy that can hit 500-foot home runs and do things really well. You know me. I like to give guys 3 years before I call them superstars, and definitely like a Harper and a Trout. Those guys are superstars in the sport. You know, this kid, he's got 3 great months. He's done really well. Last year, he struggled because he struck out nearly 1 out of every 2 at-bats. Now he's only striking out 1 every 4 at-bats, and he's walking. He's got a great on-base percentage. He's still got over 100 strikeouts, but he's taking the walks when they give him, and when he does make contact, I think he's got, out of his home runs and his doubles and stuff, you know, like 40% of the time, he's getting an extra base hit because he's so powerful. But as far as the face of the sport, I don't even think it has one right now. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is amazing. You know, you've got some of the Astro players are so amazing, but they don't know how to market them, like you said. And that might be the best team in baseball that nobody knows about. The Houston Astros are just amazing.
Talking baseball with Rob Dibble. Rob, as you know, it feels like 2001 all over again with all of these home runs. More home runs in the month of June than any other month in baseball history, including the so-called steroid era. So many theories. What's your view, and what's going on with the seams on these baseballs? A lot of pitchers getting blisters.
Well, they're trying to get seams because, you know, even when I was playing 20 years ago, very hard to get a seam on a Major League Baseball. They're like cue balls or billiard balls. I mean, they're rock hard. They want them to travel far, and they certainly don't want you to have good spin on them. And you know, here's my theory on baseball. There's so many guys in the major leagues now, probably 12 pitchers a staff, probably 4 guys on every pitching staff on every team shouldn't even be in the major leagues. They're not quality guys. They're bodies. You've got a guy that can get out 2 lefties in your bullpen where they used to go 2 innings and they could get out righties and lefties. I mean, there's too many specialized guys that don't really have an overall talent. And so when those guys get extended or have to pitch more because nobody completes games anymore, nobody goes past 18 or 21 outs anymore, now you've got those guys in the game. You've got the 8th or 7th pitcher out of the bullpen coming in, and they're getting lit up. So those 3rd and 4th at-bats for a lot of these big guys that can hit home runs, they're crushing people. So it's, you know, the quality is not there when it comes to pitching. I laugh when Rob Manfred goes, they could expand 2 more teams in Major League Baseball. You know, they could never expand 2 more teams because that would put 24 more pitchers out there for guys to just, you know, hammer on. So they need to tighten up the pitching. They need to tighten up the strike zone and give more strikes to the pitchers. And so guys just wouldn't stand up there and take batting practice.
So you don't think there's anything different about the ball because you've heard all the speculation the ball might be juiced?
Well, you know what? You could say all you want, but it's hard to prove that. You could cut a baseball open. It's going to have a cork center. It's going to be like a golf ball. I mean, golf balls go farther than they ever did before. I mean, it's, to me, you know, even Rob Manfred said there's no regulations on the bats either. And you could dip them in lacquer 50 times. I mean, there's a lot of ways. You've got maple bats, ash bats. You've got bats I've never even seen before, and they're almost unbreakable. You know, whereas you could saw guys off and snap bats 20, 30 years ago on one good inside fastball. And here's another thing too, Brian. Nobody pitches to contact anymore. I had Fred Lynn on my show the other day, and we talked about this extensively. You know, I used to pitch to contact, throw an outside fastball, even if it was 95 miles an hour. I wanted you to hit it on the ground to my Hall of Fame shortstop or my Gold Glove third baseman. I knew I had great defenders behind me. We now have guys that just try to either strike everybody out or throw it by them velocity-wise. They're not great at locating. So there's a lot of pitches left over the plate and up. I see a lot of Red Sox, Yankees, Mets games. I see a lot of these guys, like I said, the fourth and fifth guy in almost every rotation in the major leagues. Carlos Quintana was just traded from the White Sox to the Cubs because they need a decent pitcher. And he's a 4.5 ERA guy that strikes out a lot of guys. I don't know if he's a number one or number two starter, but he's better than what they have in the fourth and fifth hole. That's why they went out and they traded prospects for him. So it's just the quality. You know, there's a quantity of pitching in the major leagues, but there's just not a quality.
The Nasty Boy, Rob Dibble, is our guest on CBS Sports Radio. Rob, I'm still based in Southern California. Dodgers, as you know, tremendous first half. But how much are you buying the rotation beyond Clayton Kershaw? I know Alex Wood, filthy in the first half, made it to the All-Star game, but I've got doubts about him and Rich Hill.
Well, you know what? It's such a tough division, though. Diamondbacks have an excellent team. Colorado Rockies, and we have their double-A minor league team right here in Hartford, Connecticut. They've got five guys from last year's double-A team in the major league. So there's a lot of unproven guys on the Rockies. I like the Dodgers because they're a team. They're a very good team. They've got a lot of speed. They've got a lot of depth as far as defense goes. And I'm like you. I mean, Hill, you paid a lot for him. He's a fourth or fifth starter on most teams. You know, right now he's your number two guy. You had the young Uriah kid. He's done for the season. What, 20, 21 years old? I mean, that guy's on. He might be done till the middle of next season. So I'm with you. You know, Maeda, I mean, some of these guys are unproven when it comes to the playoffs, but they'll probably get their chance this year because I think the Dodgers are going to win that division.
Talking baseball with Rob Dibble. Check out his show, 97.9 ESPN Radio in Hartford, back in Connecticut where he was a phenom growing up on the East Coast. So we could see the Dodgers and Nats again in the postseason. Rob, Washington's got that lethal lineup, but since you know all about the intricacies of the bullpen, why can't they figure out the pen in D.C.?
It's not just D.C. I mean, you look all over. Look at the Yankees. I thought at the beginning of the season that would be an untouchable bullpen. Now Betances can't seem to throw a strike. I mean, you're putting so many innings on arms that, you know, should maybe be pitching three times a week. Now they're pitching five times a week. You know, you have a ridiculous statistic. A quality start is six innings and three earned runs. That's a 4.5 ERA. To me, that's a brutal stat. You know, you need to get back to completing games or at least getting seventh and eighth inning out of your starters and bridge that middle relief gap. A lot of teams are just getting burned out in middle relief, pushing them towards the closer role. And there's just not a lot of guys, Webb, that psychologically can handle closing out games. And so, right now, Dusty Baker's doing everything he can to try to get a guy that can close out games, but it's very difficult because you're burning so many guys out already, and we're only in July. We're middle of July, and these guys need to be ready for the end of August and into September, and a lot of these guys are going to be dog-tired because starters just don't go deep enough into games anymore.
And we know managing the pen never Dusty's forte in San Francisco or Chicago. Let's wrap it up with the Cubs underachieving. Since it's July, Rob, should we stop talking about the emotional hangover of that epic World Series win? What's wrong with the Cubs?
Well, you know what? Hayward's not a great offensive player. Schwarber, he's been exposed. You know, he has some serious issues and holes, and maybe you rush him to the major leagues. Bryant and Rizzo are still your best players on that team. Baez and Russell are still, they're like, to me, babies in the major leagues. And they all went through a great learning curve last year by winning the World Championship. But now you come back the next year, and we went through this in Cincinnati. Everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants to take you down a notch and just destroy you and say, oh, yeah, the Cubs aren't that great. So when they were seeing these guys and David Ross dancing with the stars and seeing guys on all these late-night television shows and you got Theo Epstein's out there doing all these interviews, that's upsetting all these other teams that think they're just as good as the Cubs. So it's very hard to defend over the course of a long-haul marathon season when everybody wants a piece of you, and they've been exposed. They've got some weaknesses in their rotation. They've got weaknesses in their bullpen, and they just don't have enough offense to carry when they have a bad game out of their pitching staff.
Rob, always a pleasure. Let's keep in better touch. I have been very lucky to hang on to this business for 25 years, and I think about opportunities that worked out, like NFL Network, missed chances. I tell people this story, they don't believe it, and you'll know what I'm talking about here. The one job I wanted, I did not get to be your co-host for another radio outlet. The guy who was making the decision described me as too low-key.
You, my friend, have never been low-key.
Well, no, I was deferring to you. You're the star.
Oh,
I was being the point guard. But remember that meeting? No, we like Brian. He knows his stuff. He's a little bit too low-key.
It's ridiculous. Listen, I've survived 20 years, buddy. So we're survivors. That's why we're still doing this. Because we love it and we respect our listeners. That's why I think we're still doing it.
And you know I love you. Thank you so much, Rob. Let's keep in better touch.
All right, Webb. Be well.
Rob Dibble, the Nasty Boy. Check him out. He's doing a great job locally, but he talks national topics. 97.9 ESPN Radio in Hartford. That's where he grew up, back in the state of Connecticut. You may not know that Rob's father was a very respected broadcaster, so he grew up in the business. And yes, I know self-gloss is not to be tolerated, but I'm the fill-in guy. Remember, this is my phone call for 3 hours. You can slide in at 800-636-8686. More of your phone calls coming up at 40 past the hour. So it's circa 2009. I was a baseball guy. 9 years of doing pregame shows for the Giants and A's. When I was doing local TV, the Ron Burgundy of the San Francisco Bay Area. Rob and I are doing baseball shows, Fox Sports Radio. There's another national outlet. Rob's got the gig. He recommends me to the boss. We do a week, and the guy in the corner office said, no, he seems like a nice kid. I was a kid at the time, I guess. Just a little bit low-key. And now, just the lava is flowing through the microphone right now. So if you wonder why I project, I think as you get older, you realize in a 5,000-channel universe, you have to stand out. Plus, it was the Rob Dibble Show. I was just going to read promos, which I think I could do. Speaking of which, we're brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. As mentioned, coming up 40 past the hour, 25 minutes from now, more of your phone calls, 800-636-8686. We'll get to the college football as SEC media days winding down, the ACC kicking in. What's going on with all the recruiting allegations at Ole Miss? That's on the way. Straight ahead, is it a done deal? Carmelo Anthony's going to land in Houston. We're talking NBA with Rick Campbell of NBA TV and the NBA on TuneIn. Always a pleasure to sit in for Jim Rome. I'm Brian Weber. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Let's talk some hoops with one of the best in the business, Rick Campbell of NBA TV and the NBA on TuneIn. A reminder, NBA TV is your ultimate destination for Las Vegas Summer League coverage, continuing today at 4 Eastern, as well as all of the latest moves in free agency and trades. Rick, we appreciate you taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brian. Great to be on with you. Thanks for reaching out, man.
My pleasure. Always great to talk to a tune-in teammate. And I want to be transparent.
Yes,
I'm using the end of Summer League as an excuse to squeeze out one more week of basketball conversation because I love hoops, but you know I'm a football guy. Do you think the NBA has almost matched the NFL in making its offseason as interesting as the regular season?
Whoa, great question. In a way, it has because, Brian, to me, there is more interest in the soap opera and in the drama and in guys changing teams and in press conferences and in people saying provocative stuff and a new shoe line by LaVar Ball. People are more interested and fascinated by that stuff than they are with Golden State, sweeping Utah in the second round. That's just where we're at. The whole thing has been kind of turned inside out. I'm a 50 by 94, 48-minute guy. I'm all about the game. I'm all about high pick and roll. I'm about transition defense, Brian. I'm just that guy. And so I've had to just sort of go with the flow of this, that people care less about the game and more about the stuff around the game. So in that way, I'll say it this way. I think the NBA is catching up to the NFL, but we all know that the Shield dominates and the Shield rules.
Rick, you've been calling Summer League action for years, and I've been watching you, and we can remember guys like Randy Foy blowing up in a summer and then flaming out. Are there a handful of players that stand out to you, or is it all about the saga of the Ball family?
Well, okay, so this morning, a very prominent sports website, we all know which one, the top headline this morning was Lonzo Ball not negotiating with Nike, LeVar Ball says.
I believe that answers my question.
The rotation's been trashed this year. And then Venus obviously winning and moving to the Wimbledon final. That stuff has since trumped that non or fake news. And look, Lonzo wore Kobe's last night. Okay, he wore Nike's. What, is he supposed to wear these crappy clogs that they're selling for $500? You can't play ball in those, Brian. If he really, because I heard how long it took to develop them and test them and all that. Look, these are fancy shoes. They're high-end shoes for collectors. They're not for a 6 foot, 690-pound, number two overall pick to the Lakers to be wearing. Wear some Kobe's. Wear some shoes that have been tested. Wear some shoes that aren't going to give you plantar fasciitis within 2 weeks of wearing them, and go that way.
Talking Hoops with Rick Hamlet. Check him out as the Summer League is winding down in Vegas on NBA TV. Rick, you're plugged in. What do you make of a myriad of reports indicating that it could be imminent now that Melo's on his way to Houston? How would that work from a standpoint of coexisting with Harden, who's ball-centric, Chris Paul, who's got a high usage rate, and what about Melo's relationship that failed with Mike D'Antoni in New York City?
All great questions. The D'Antoni thing, I think, could pretty easily be worked out. I think you have some dinner, you get a couple of bottles of $500 wine, and you talk it over and you move on. I'm less worried about that. I'm not really worried about him blending in with Harden and Paul. I think Carmelo, if he makes this decision to leave, and he would have to waive his trade clause, no trade clause, to get out of there, I think he would then be making the admission, I'm okay being a third fiddle. I may have to make sacrifices that Bosh made in Miami and that Love made in Cleveland, but I'm willing to do it. Now, the holdup, Brian, and the whole part of this thing that has me saying I'll believe it when I see it, is that the Houston Rockets don't really have assets that the Knicks want. They don't want Ryan Anderson. The Rockets have been trading draft picks and making all these moves, so the cupboard is kind of bare. I don't know that Houston's going to be able to, even with a third and or fourth team, create a package that New York sees as suitable. And all of these teams want Carmelo to get bought out so that they can just spend money on him as opposed to cash in assets for him. So it's a very high-stakes poker game. I don't think Carmelo Anthony will start the season as a Knick. It doesn't look like he'll be a Cav because they don't have the assets to come get him. I don't know what the heck's going on here, Brian.
Rick Campbell of NBA TV is our guest. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Rick, I'm here in Southern California where Laker fans are convinced Paul George is coming next season. He grew up here. You know about his boyhood idolatry of Kobe Bryant, but that's in the past. Let's talk about the present. What'd you make of his comments in Sports Illustrated that he's open to seeing how it plays out in OKC? And let's say Russell Westbrook and George make a run to the Western Conference Finals. What's the likelihood they both stay in Oklahoma City?
So, Brian, I want to play a little tennis with you. Who does Paul George play for right now?
Currently for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Who was he introduced in front of yesterday?
A lot of people who showed up at the airport. That would not have happened here in L.A.
So I'm not necessarily – where I'm going with here is this is what you have to say right now. Even in the back of your brain, if you still have L.A. and palm trees and hot women in mind, this is what you have to say right now. Does it make him a little full of it if he eventually goes to L.A.? Yeah, but these guys don't care about that. He's living in the moment. He's saying what he has to say right now. I'm buying some of it. I'm not buying most of it. To me, where there's smoke, there's fire. Magic Johnson is probably the number one power broker in the NBA right now. And Brian, if it's not working about halfway through the season, Sam Presti, the GM of OKC, is going to have to trade Paul George before he loses him without getting anything in return. I don't think it's peaches and cream right now at OKC, but he just got there. I still think he might be a Laker next year.
Rick, let's move over to the East. It felt like in the regular season, Boston was a year ahead of schedule, best record, top seed, but Cleveland really didn't care about that, in my estimation. We saw how it played out in the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston adding Gordon Hayward, so they're better, but they've lost Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. Net-net, how much better is this team?
I think they're better because the Bradley thing turns into a Marcus Morris, and he's going to play the four for them now. I don't think Jaylen Brown's ready to play the four. I don't think Jason Tatum isn't a four. And then you've got, of course, Jay Crowder, who could start at the four, and he might, and they may bring Morris off the bench. But now you've got two nasty, competitive, two-way players that can make threes, and Marcus Morris and Jay Crowder. So the Bradley thing turned into Morris. The Olynyk thing turns into Hayward. So to me, the Celtics are netting out big time in this. And if they're able to not have to slough anybody off to make the money work, I think they're going to win the East again. Cleveland, to me, needs to get more feisty and competitive in the regular season to get that number one seed, because that's playing a dangerous game. Yep, you beat Boston last year, but Isaiah Thomas was hanging on by a thread. He had a hip injury lingering from the Washington series. He wasn't even close to his near MVP self in that series. So to me, Cleveland's got to go for it in the regular season. But if they do, will they be out of gas come finals time? I think Cleveland, Brian, has been the biggest loser of the offseason. They didn't have a draft pick. Jose Calderon's their big free agent get. They re-signed Kyle Korver, who missed the big shot. They didn't get George. They didn't get Butler. Doesn't look like they're going to get Carmelo. To me, the Cavs are the biggest loser of the offseason.
Rick, great information as always. Enjoy the rest of the summer league. Do you take a summer vacation or just plow through year-long on NBA TV?
You know how it is. We just keep saying yes. We just keep taking on gigs, man. But I'll have a little bit of a breather in late August. I'm going down to Belize, man. So I do have that to look forward to.
Look at you. Should I ask what's in Belize, or we'll talk about that off the air?
Good times, my brother. Good times.
Thank you, Rick. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, Brian. Take it easy.
Rick Hamla, check him out. NBA on TuneIn on the radio, audio content, NBA TV. With a reminder, you can see him not only calling Summer League action, but hosting the network's signature studio show, NBA Game Time, throughout the season. Follow him on Twitter at NBA TV Rick. One more segment on the way, meaning you can be a part of the show at 800-636-8686. Straight ahead, as mentioned, SEC Media Days winding down, ACC kicking off. We'll talk some college football. I know you want an A-team playoff, but I'm going to tell you why sometimes less is more. But first, let's get you a sports update. Rich Ackerman has all the details. Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome. CBS Sports Radio, cbssportsradio.com. You know the number and use it tomorrow, because candidly, probably not enough time for you to jump into the rotation today. Back with you tomorrow at 800-636-8686. Just looked at my flip phone. I got about 800 tweets to respond to. I have another obligation this afternoon, but I will do my best to comb through the Twitter machine. Whether you like me or not, I'm cool with any conversation you want to have, and I appreciate how enthusiastic this audience always is. It speaks to the empire Jim has built. BW Weber, Weber with two B's, college football conversation coming up to wrap up the program. We'll do it again tomorrow, getting the latest from what went down across SEC Media Days, ACC in action today when we talk college football with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com tomorrow. A little bit more baseball with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. And I'm being totally upfront, I'm riding Summer League. Not talking about the Ball family, trying to avoid that as much as I can. But we're talking about the future of Carmelo Anthony, and has the balance of power shifted at all across the NBA? Tomorrow, when we check in with Steve Kyler from BasketballInsiders.com. A reminder, we're brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like BrakeBest, BrakeBest Select, Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Just to amplify what Rick Hamlin was talking about, if you think about the massive imbalance between the West and the East. If you care about individual player ratings, 13 of the top 14 players now in the NBA reside in the West. And if we're having these hypothetical conversations, because that's what we do in the month of July, like what would it take, as Richard Sherman outlined yesterday, on the red carpet of the ESPYs, for NFL players to get the guaranteed money they're entitled to? If we're just going to talk about a change coming up in the NBA, I can understand the argument out there that seeding should be based on record, get rid of the conference constructs, but what's the motivation of anybody in the East to change the current construction? Because if we had just a seeding of the top 16 teams, how many teams from the East will we be talking about in the postseason? And no owner, for the good of the game, is going to leave that kind of revenue on the table. College football media days mean college football is back. And I love college football as much as I love the NFL. Just think about the tonnage of games on Saturdays here in Southern California. You get up, hopefully you had a good Friday night. Maybe you're easing into your day. There's college football on the tube, 9 o'clock local time, and you can ride it all the way until 1 or 1:30 in the morning Eastern time. So we know the passion and energy connected with what happens in college football every Saturday in the fall. And it feels like not only are we talking about an arms race with facilities and out of control salaries across college football, what's with what the media now is having to endure? Because I remember the SEC went first with multiple media days. Do we really need more than one media day in the ACC? And I'm a Pac-12 guy. I think we went 2 hours and 41 minutes without a Stanford reference. Yeah, I blew a lot of education to get in this business. But I've worked for Pac-12 networks for the last 4 years. I've shown up at Pac-12 media days and wonder why we couldn't get this done in one single day. But it speaks to you want as much football conversation as you can get. And this is merely a way to facilitate that. So in the SEC, you get the annual display of Nick Saban's crankiness. Saban turning 66 this fall. I think we can stop the speculation that he would ever leave Bama for the right job in the pros and cue up the, I'm just going to be the head coach of Miami. I'm not going to Alabama. That's all I can tell you. We remember how that played out. And he can have all of the revisionist history he wants about, well, if the docs in Miami had let me sign Drew Brees, things would have been different. It didn't work out because grown adults don't want to have a guy yell at them the way Saban is able to in college football, whereas he undeniably is a god because he's the biggest thing in the state of Alabama. You could counter Bill Belichick uses that approach. All right. How many other NFL coaches can match his resume? Saban is a college coach, one of the greatest of all time, but he's never going to be an NFL coach. And that's probably good for all of us because I would not want to have to watch Saban at a podium on a Monday saying nothing on NFL Network, because it feels like every time he emerges, he's got a new rant. Take it back to spring football. Remember when he went off about the media throwing stuff against the wall? Hashtag fake news and alternative facts. But he can do whatever he wants in a small town that he is bigger than the governor of that state in. So it feels like if you're looking at the early college football odds, get ready to see Saban at a podium in the college football playoff again. Guys in Vegas have Bama and Ohio State with the highest win totals, and we'll talk about this tomorrow with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Under over, if you care about that mechanism for both, the Buckeyes and the Tide. 10.5 wins, next tier 9.5, and yes, I now feel like a degenerate gambler, but it's just a good way of figuring out where the general population is with 50% of the action on either side. 9.5 wins, you got USC led by Sam Darnold, Oklahoma led by Baker Mayfield, if he can stay out of jail. We'll see how Lincoln Riley does, taking over for Bob Stoops. And then on the next plateau, you got Wisconsin, Penn State, Washington, all in the mix. So what are we looking at? Alabama may be going to another national championship game. And remember, Jalen Hurts is merely a sophomore. Ohio State could be back in the playoff after they got spanked by Clemson last year. JT Barrett back at it for another year. It feels like he's been in Columbus longer than Urban Meyer. Penn State back in the running after the fans felt like they got jobbed last year. Washington in the conversation. If they can edge out USC in the Pac-12, and remember, the Trojans were the hottest team in all of college football down the stretch. Nobody wanted to see them if they could sneak their way into the playoff. Going to be fascinating to see if this is the last season for Sam Darnold. He's gone on a tour, including a trip to hang out with the folks at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, saying all the right things, and much like we were talking about with Paul George's observations in Sports Illustrated, as Rick Campbell correctly said, what else do you think Paul George is going to say? Nah, I'm miserable. I don't want to be here in OKC and get booed and hectored so long as he's got to endure that experience. But Sam Darnold, according to Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, enjoys the college experience so much, even if USC gets to the playoff and wins it all, there's no guarantee he's going pro. Now, he should undeniably take the money. And if you think about, say, Matt Barkley years ago, who should have been a top three pick, he enjoyed the college experience. How'd that work out? Left a lot of money on the table and has done nothing in the pros. But if we connect the NFL to college football, think about what the Jets are attempting to do. And they can't use the word out loud, but I'll say it for them. Thank you very much. Let me spin it a little bit. They are maximizing their draft possibilities, going all in to have an even worse record than Cleveland and find a quarterback that they've been looking for dating back to, what, Joe Willie Namath? Who's the second best quarterback in the history of the Jets? Ken O'Brien is the wrong answer. Chad Pennington, probably the right answer, but he could not remain on the field. Do not give me Mark Sanchez. He was just standing there when he had a defense and he had LT, and we know about the butt fumble. So the Jets are a disaster. But if you are betting on Sam Darnold, that could be a major risk, and I'm not sold on the other guys. I can see you through the app or through your traditional radio. Unless you live in Wyoming, raise your hand if you've seen Josh Allen play. I haven't, and I do a college football show every Saturday elsewhere. Twitter, BW Weber. You can get all the details. I'm here in Southern California. Josh Rosen is so immature, forget about the nonsense with the hot tub, but all of the baggage that comes with him, that UCLA is shielding him from the media, won't even bring him to Pac-12 Media Days because they don't want the face of the program and their starting quarterback to interact with a pretty low-key media here in L.A. This is not New York. This is not Philadelphia. This is not Boston. But it just does speak to, with all of these press conferences and coaches saying nothing, that we're all in the content business. Feed the beast. I get it. And we love college football in many ways as much as we love the NFL. You could argue it's a more compelling product because of the unpredictability, because we finally got the playoff that we've been clamoring for decades. I'm older than I sound, and some of that's based on 19 Diet Cokes to get through this show with passion and energy. For years, if you were desperate, two topics came to mind, and don't tell me Colin Kaepernick was a desperate topic. Certainly newsworthy on this show. If you needed material 20 years ago, there's a glass box on the wall. You break it. The envelope enclosed reads, talk about Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame or pound the table. We need a college football playoff. Well, we got it, but now we want more because college football gets bigger and bigger. And I don't care how many years are left on the ESPN contract because the customer is never wrong. Just like all of you folks who, in my view, are going to throw away $100 to watch Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. And as they continue their tour going to Brooklyn today, I'll play along and we'll play you more ludicrous sound tomorrow when I'm back in for Jim. Because you're out there already looking for the next thing coming up in college football, you know what that is. It's an 18 playoff. So ESPN has this contract. They will gladly accommodate the powers that be, if we can get to an 18 playoff. So it's only a matter of time. You pick the time frame, 3 years, 5 years. And I'm just telling you up front, of course I'm going to watch. I love college football. But I don't know that an 18 playoff is going to be better than the current system. And yes, now I'm officially 117 years old. I am Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino. Hey, kids, get off my lawn. But just think about what's going on with the 14 playoff. And why we have such a strong emotional bond to college football. Maybe it's your alma mater. Maybe it's a regional connection. We know in the South, it's bigger than the NFL. In my case, I grew up a Notre Dame football fan because I'm Irish Catholic, and my grandfather turned on the TV, and that was the end of the discussion. I didn't have a lot of choice, and whether I wanted to watch those terrible teams with Jerry Faust, when his last name was Brennan, we knew what channel we'd be watching. So there are different underpinnings for a fandom in college football than the NFL. And I can understand why it's getting bigger and bigger. And as mentioned, if you can't find a college football game on TV, they must be playing Division III. Must be JUCO football or streaming live now. It's all out there for you. So we know what the next step is going to be. But count me in the minority. And I know most of you think 8 teams is not enough. Let's go to 16 teams. Let's play all the way until the end of January. And let's factor in neutral sites and the Division II champion gets a bye. Folks, sometimes status quo is okay. I'm cool with the current model. 4 teams is the perfect number because when we get to 8 teams, and I know I'm going to be wrong here, but when we get to 8 teams, I don't care who the 9th best team in the country at that stage will be and whether they deserve to be in or out. When you get to 8 teams, debate goes away, or at least meaningful debate. Plus, are we really going to play college football until late January? Because at that point, we got to talk about real compensation for the players beyond what is now going on in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, covering at least the full cost of enrollment. But if these kids, and you're a kid in my view, not only because I'm old, but you're a kid if you're 18 to 22, these kids are generating mountains of cash. And yes, in return, they get the education if they choose to take advantage of it. But let's also be transparent. A lot of these guys just want to go to school to play football. Cue up the Cardale Jones tweet. Although, in fairness, he went back to school and got his degree after he went to play football and not play school. So I'm going to be wrong here. And you're going to also tweet me at BW Weber after the program. Tell me I'm dead wrong on Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. But I'm trying to be as open as I can be. This is not contrived debate like we see on Fox Sports 1 on those shows. Literally no one is watching. And you can Google for that data yourself. At some point, there's nothing wrong with what's going on right now. And when we get to 8 teams, sure, I'll watch. And yes, I'll ride it for as much content as I can get. But I don't know that's going to be better than what we have right now. Let's wrap it up with a few tweets and we'll get you set for tomorrow in a minute. I mentioned I was trying to avoid the Ball family. Curtis Brown will not allow me to do that. Magic didn't let Lonzo Ball wear big baller shoes last night. Can't guard nobody sliding past them with hands up in plastic clown shoes. I'm not in the shoe game. Man, I am old. Chuck Taylor's, there's nothing wrong with him, okay? Why are you spending $499 for that stuff? If you're going to throw your money away like you're going to do with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, buy at least a known brand. And I'm not bashing the kid. I think he is being a loyal son. Lonzo's a quality player. We hit on the stat line last night, if you care about the particulars, of exhibition basketball in the Summer League. 36 points, 11 assists, but he did it against a Sixer team that did not have Markelle Fultz. And I would love to see him try to match up with De'Aaron Fox after, in my mind, he got exposed when UCLA took on Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. My issue is now they have become the Kardashians of the NBA. And here's the problem for Lonzo. He's got to play. He's got to show up. His old man can run his mouth as much as he wants to. There's no blowback there. But now it falls upon his son to back it up. And don't you know, over the course of an 82-game regular season, we're already seeing it in Summer League. Everybody's going to be gunning for the quote-unquote big baller brand. It is always a pleasure to sit in for the great Jim Rome. Hope you have an outstanding rest of your day. I'll take more of your phone calls tomorrow at 800-636-8686. Thanks to Jim. Thanks to Adam Hawk, the executive producer, for allowing me to sit in. Thanks to Austin. Thanks to James. Thanks to all of you. Let's keep the conversation going on Twitter. No Insta. No Facebook. All tweets. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We'll do it again tomorrow in the jungle right here on CBS Sports Radio.